Well, what kind of a week have you had? Been a good week for patience? Good week for just kind of laying back and just enjoying life? Well, you know, it really wasn't that way for us. But I just want you to know that, you know, we are your pastors. We love you. But we're people going through stuff like you. And sometimes we just don't have the patience to make it through. Anybody been there? And I come in this morning, and I have my sermon all done, and what I do is I download it from my laptop into my iPad, and it's like, gets halfway there and stops. So then I'm thinking, this ain't going to be so good. Ain't is not probably the proper English. Isn't going to be so good. I might have to bring a big plug-in up here for my computer and have it up here, and it's just going to, and then I thought, well, I'll just print it out on the printer. And the printer wouldn't work. Really. So I'm getting impatient. Because now I'm thinking, now, what's going to happen here? I probably could wing it. You wouldn't know. I'd bring my iPad out and look at it, and it could be something. It could be the National Post, and I could just wing it, right? But do you understand what it's like to have your situations that come into your life where you need patience? And that's where we're at. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is just patience. And that's the key, is we need to be like Christ in that area. So I want you to just follow with me here as I kind of share what patience is for us. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we had a time to connect with you in worship. You are the most important being in our lives. And so help us to become more like you. That's what we want. We don't want to be like ourselves. We don't want to even be like somebody we really love and adore and who's a mentor in our Christian walk. We want to be like you. And you exhibited all the fruit of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit. And so, Lord, help us to become people who absorb that through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And so I ask that you just do this now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So what is this patience? It's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay. That's easy, right? Count it all joy, hallelujah, when you face diverse trials. Yeah, that's what I do. I just go, hey, this is awesome. This is going to be, all hell's going to break loose for a week, and I can hardly wait to be in the middle of it. Are you kidding? I don't feel that way, honestly. And maybe that's not very spiritual, but I don't really like crises. Unless they're somebody else's. Man, I can get into your crises real easy. I love it. Not mine. So tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. So let's just have the wives stand up and tell about their spouses, and then we'll have the spouses tell about their wives. Do you ever get upset or angry? Oh, wow. Why? Because you're impatient? Have you ever filled in somebody's sentence because they're just too slow? Elaine and I went down to the States, and we met this couple. We were in Texas, and we met this couple from Arkansas. And honestly, it was like going for supper with the Beverly Hillbillies. His name was Brother Smith. That's what his wife called him, Brother Smith. And her name was Jolene. And we'd go out. We just loved them. They're great people, but they talked so slow. Like, come on. Like, I know what he's going to say, so I was going to fill it in for him. He says, you guys have a great accent. He said to me, we don't have an accent. Everybody else does. So I told him, I says, don't ever phone me collect. I can't afford to wait till you've told me what you wanted to tell me. We had so much fun together. They were awesome. It's pretty hard, isn't it, to walk through a situation without being impatient. So some other words, you know, for patience are forbearance, persistence, endurance, tenacity, staying power, determination, resolve, tolerance, restraint, self-restraint, composure, and perseverance. How many of you got at least 70%? Don't put your hands up. Those are tough things. Tenacity, somebody hanging in. I just like somebody's hanging on your leg and they're not going to let you go. That's kind of what Mary Magdalene wanted to do. She hung on to Jesus, right? That's what Jacob did to Jesus. I think he was wrestling with Jesus. How would you like to take a round with Jesus? All night long they fought. And he said, I'm not letting go. That's tenacity. I'm not letting go till you bless me. So he did. He knocked his hip out of joint. That's an awesome blessing. Well, I see you've been with the Lord. And you know, but he was hanging in, and that's what we need to do, is we need to hang in. But if you're going to hang in with God, you're going to have to hang in patience. You're going to have tenacity, staying power, endurance, perseverance, resolve. You're going to have all those things that none of us usually do. So here's a guy named Paul whose life was toxic and became fruitful. So 1 Timothy, I want you to follow along if you want. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me for his service. Now, if you know the story about Paul, he was a killer, a church person killer. He actually went out with the government's support to go and kill and destroy all Christianity. He's a guy to be afraid of. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Please understand something here, is a lot of the people that you run into trouble with that in your conversations or just the personalities, is they're doing this out of ignorance. You ever heard anybody swear and use the Lord's name in vain? They just do it out of ignorance. They use all sorts of other adjectives as well. And you know, there's always, well, don't use the name Jesus. He's my best friend. Well, to them, that doesn't mean anything. You can do that. I remember sitting at a table with a bunch of guys, construction guys, and they were swearing and they were using Jesus' name in vain. And I waited for kind of an opening, and I said, hey, you know what? Have you ever noticed nobody goes, oh, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Oh, Muhammad. Nobody does that. It's always Jesus Christ. Yeah, you heard that probably, haven't you? Well, Jesus Christ is my friend. And when they say that, I just say, hey, you ever thought about that? Nobody ever says. And it's ignorance. They go, you know what? You're right. And then they have a hard time. And I tell them, you just go ahead and speak the way you want. I work with police officers, and I work with loggers, and I work with people who have really rough vocabularies, which I had myself. And once they know that you're not going to condemn them, Jesus is big enough to handle himself. Whatever way they use his name. All right? I used it wrong for a lot of years in my ignorance. And don't say you're ignorant, because that doesn't help. What you need to do is just, maybe there's an opening. You can say, hey, you know what? Ever thought of it? Never says some of the other religious leaders, it's always Jesus Christ. You don't have to go into a long, detailed sermon. You just have to say that. As the Lord leads you. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This is Paul talking. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Man, he knew where he was at, right? He knew that he was the worst guy. He went and killed people, believing that it was the right thing. In ignorance, he believed that he was doing the right thing. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience. Now think about this. Some of you were raised in Christian homes, and thankfully that's a beautiful thing. I wasn't. I was a rebel. I was angry. I was a drunk. I was just as blasphemous, if you wanted, even though I didn't know what that meant. I was just everything. And Jesus hung out, waiting. I have sometimes a hard time waiting for people to straighten their lives up. You have that? Family, friends, neighbors? Maybe sometimes you have a prayer list and you pray for them for a month or so and there's nothing happening, so you just kind of move them down to the bottom of the list, right? And then start praying for, hoping that something will happen. Jesus never moved your name down to the bottom of the list, nor does he move anybody's name down to the bottom of the list on your prayer list. They're always front and center. They're always very important. And he has the patience to wait. And he waited for Paul. Can you imagine? He waited for him and knocked him off his horse. Got right in his face. Say, hey, why are you picking on me? And he goes, like, who are you, Lord? I think there was like, you must be the guy those guys are dying for. Wow, you're talking to me. And now I'm blind. And I'm kind of helpless. He stripped everything away from Paul. Somebody led him away from there. Isn't that cool? As an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. That's the whole purpose of God's immense patience. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This Jesus that we love has gone forth in everything that we are asked to go forth in. He's the trailblazer. He did everything so that you can't go, well, you never did that, Jesus. Yes, he did. And matter of fact, he went to the point of stress where he sweat blood. And that's a medical condition. But I don't know anyone who I've talked to who has sweat blood because of the stress. And of course, the stress was Christ going to the cross. Jesus' plan from the very beginning of time was to have a place in your life to make you whole. And he was willing to lay down his life for you. Do you know that? For God so loved the world, yeah, that he gave his only begotten Son, yes, that whosoever should believe with him shall not die but have eternal life. That's what Jesus, right from the beginning of time. So in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, it says, now to him who is able to strengthen you in the faith which is in accordance with my gospel, this is Paul preaching again, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation and the unveiling of the mystery of the plan of redemption or salvation, which was kept in silence and secret for long ages, or since the beginning of time, that's what some of the translations say. Sent right from the foundations of the world. This was the plan. Can you imagine before man was even made, there was a plan for salvation because God loved us so much, he knew we would fail in the garden. And he still went, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't create somebody who's going to fail. How's that look on your report? Like, you know it. Why would you do that? Why don't you create another? Why don't you create Bill and Betty or something like that instead of Adam and Eve? Somebody who's going to be successful, but he didn't create anybody that he needed to follow him except by their will. And that's today for us as well, each one of us. So, this is pretty risky, really risky. We can have some more lights here. I don't know, can you see that? The ones that can't, you're really fortunate. This is one of my paintings. This is actually the first painting I ever did called Poor Art. Now, it's not P-O-O-R, it's P-O-U-R, okay? It may be poor, P-O-O-R to you, but anyways, so, and it's got lots of red in here, and it's got lots of, it's chaos. That's what we kind of decided to call it. It's chaos. Elaine, I paint them, Elaine names them. I don't know whether it's a reflection on the picture or the guy that's doing it. But this is the first one I did in this kind of a way of doing art. And so it's like it represents the world in the beginning of time for me. It's like everything was molten and there was all, it was just chaos and the Holy Spirit hovered over it. Let's go up for sale right after this. Hallelujah. And then this is the second one. Honestly, this is the second one. And it's interesting because we call it chaos undone. That's what artists do. Name things that don't make any sense. But it is, it's when God separated the firmament from the waters. You see the waters here, and then there's this, and this is all cooling down, and there's actually some green up there. I had no idea when I was doing it that that's what it looked like. Can I interpret my own paintings? The reality is that this is what happens in our lives, is we have chaos, and when we have Christ, we have chaos undone. Hallelujah. Chaos undone in your life. You might have chaos going on in your life right now. I'll tell you something. Inside of you is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, and they will guide you in chaos undone. No matter what you're facing. And you need to be able to draw from Christ, draw from that patience to wait for Him to do that. Because sometimes we're really impatient. We want it now. I want stuff now. I have debt. You don't have to tell me. You know what debt is? It's called pre-spending. The things, that's right, I'm pretty smart. Pre-spending. You know the things that I pre-spend on, I don't have anymore. I still have the debt that goes with them. What do you think about that? Well, that is exactly what God has planned for us. He's pre-spent patience towards us. He's filled our account with all these fruits of the Spirit so that we can be like Him. And that patience can help you get out of debt, can help you get out of your crises, can help you get out of your chaos, and you live in chaos undone. Romans 15 says this, it's endurance, it's hanging in there, sticking to it. It says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it was written, the results of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. You gotta have the stick to it, and if you gotta have the hang in there stuff. We pastored a church one time where there was we just didn't have enough money, like even for our wages for near the end. And we were broke. Actually, we're so broke, and maybe that's why we're still living in the pre-spend time. But we're so broke that Elaine and I would tie the head. We're the pastors. And we're hoping that Sunday there would be a big enough offering if I tied the head and they gave the offering that we would get a paycheck. When it worked, it was awesome. When it didn't work, it wasn't so good. Because we were out our tithe and no check. Now, I didn't say that was faith. I was working that one myself. Okay? You need to endure and understand that God supplies all your needs, whether it's financial, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever you have need of, God supplies that. And the endurance is walking in that in patience. Believing, and then you have hope. We need hope, and this world needs hope. And our hope is not something that we can put together. It's someone, his name is Jesus Christ. And we can walk and live in that hope. We can't figure it out, although I try lots. Verse 5, it says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement, may the God who gives, not yours, He gives. Give you the same attitude of the mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. And Joyce Meyer says this. This is really interesting. Patience is not the ability to know or the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. It's attitude, isn't it? Is attitude a big thing? I think attitude just kind of covers the whole fruit of the Spirit. So how do we change our attitude? How do we become more like Christ through the Holy Spirit? Boy, attitude adjustments, it's a hard one because I think I'm okay. My attitude, it's got to be okay. Maybe yours is a little shaky, but mine, really, it's okay. So if you really want to be more like Christ, follow me. Wasn't that a scary thought? Paul said that, but I don't know. I say, let's follow Christ together because, you know, I'm going to mess up. Hopefully not as much as I used to do. But when you're going through something in your life, it's not the ability to wait. It's how you handle that while you're waiting in line at the grocery store, in line at a traffic jam, in line trying to get across the Alex Fraser Bridge, in the line trying to get through the tunnel. You know, the people that you don't have much patience with that come whipping down that outside lane and then crowd in front of you. Whoa, none of them go to church. They wouldn't. You'd all wait your turn, right? I mean, come on. And you're there, and you know, I always think, man, I better be careful here with my attitude because they maybe come to our church. And if I'm the guy that doesn't do nice and they see me in a pulpit, that's not a good thing. You know, you know what? We all have that same responsibility. We need to be above reproach. We need to have a good relationship. And you know what? Sometimes that person squeezing in front of you will take 1 nanosecond out of your life. 1 nanosecond. Really? Where are you going? I'm rushing home to do nothing. Right? I have to get to Tim Hortons. Do you? And then you're waiting in the drive-thru. Like, come on. Lane says you're going through the drive-thru. I don't go through the drive-thru. It takes too long. So I'll go inside and stand in line. We don't have any lines in heaven. We want to have the same attitude that Christ has. Not had, but has and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We want to have his attitude. So in Philippians, it says in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset or the same attitude as Jesus Christ, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider God equality with God. When he was here on earth, he was fully God and fully man. That's called a hypostatic union. Fully God, fully man. But he didn't go, you know what? You guys are ticking me off. And you know who you're talking to? Talking to God. So smarten up or I'll make you a pile of ashes. Matter of fact, just so you know I can do it, Peter, you're gone. Anybody else? That's my attitude. It's not Jesus' attitude. He did not consider being God that he would influence from that position, but from fully man. He didn't believe that attitude, something to be used to his own advantage. Oh, man, we have to become more like him. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. He didn't just become a person and then become a very wealthy person. He became a servant person. He gave his whole life. This is God, the creator of all this mess, who during this time here hovered around with the Holy Spirit, just kind of hung out, waiting for this and waiting for today. That's a long time. We figure maybe probably 6 to 8,000 years. Probably 8,000, and then there's all sorts of stuff, and I'm not really up on all this, but we could be millions and millions and billions of years old as far as our earth goes. But we have this period of time when God created us, and he knew that one day he would have to come and die on the cross. And with patience, he waited. And then with patience, some 30 years ago, with my attitude towards church and towards him, he waited and brought the whole universe in my life together so that somebody could speak to me through the Holy Spirit and I would come to know him. He is patient with me. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Humiliating, horrible, and nailed with two criminals, one on either side. Len Sweet does a really good job of this, talking about the three crosses and talking about Jesus' salvation message at the end, and only one came. The other one mocked him and ridiculed him, went right to hell. Can you imagine being crucified with Jesus and turning to him and reviling him? And the other guy didn't even say the sinner's prayer, which really bothers me because we got it down really good. I mean, we do. We have the four spiritual laws. He didn't do anything in Romans, because Romans wasn't written then, but he didn't do anything like we do. He didn't do any of that. He just said, hey, remember me. And Jesus said, you'll be with me. Remember me. He didn't confess his sins. Pretty obvious, though. They're nailed naked on the cross. In a very humiliating way. But he knew who he was talking to. And Jesus never lost his attitude. He said, you guys are going to burn in hell for doing this. He said, Father, the guys that drove the nails through my hands, spit on me, pulled my beard out, drove the spikes down on my head, ripped my clothes off, embarrassed me, laughed and mocked me, Lord, forgive them for what they did because they do not know. Right? Ignorance. I wonder how many, honestly, how many soldiers and how many, people that witnessed Christ's crucifixion there, how many of them are waiting for us in heaven that didn't say the sinner's prayer but just knew and were converted like the thief on the cross? How many? And 2,000 years ago, he died, or more than 2,000 now, he died for our sins. He died for our sins. Humbled himself as a man, becoming obedient to death. Can you imagine God dying? Like, God died in a human form. God died for all of us. Philippians 12, it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fill his good purpose. Just remember that. He wants you to become like him. Now, the fear and trembling, I don't think you should go, oh, I wonder if I'm saved. I don't know whether I'm saved. Oh, I hope I get saved. I hope I can make it. Oh, I hope the rapture doesn't come and I'm left behind. That's not what that's talking about. Fear and reverence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are saved when you ask Jesus Christ into your life. You are saved. And when you ask him to forgive your sins, you are saved, cut and dried, when you say it with your heart. And you might not even... For a long time, I thought people had to say it so I could hear it so they could be saved. If I didn't hear you say the salvation, I don't know. You might be, you might not be. If I hear you, I can judge it then. Isn't that crazy? It's the Holy Spirit that judges it. It's the Holy God that judges that. It's your heart. So Philippians 14 says, do everything without grumbling and arguing. Whew. Everything? Really? Do everything without grumbling and arguing? Oh, man. Just think if we actually did that, how much extra time we'd all have. We wouldn't be grumbling and arguing about everything. You know why we grumble and argue? Because we're kind of self-centered and we want it our way. Or we're really wise and nobody else really knows how smart we are, but if they'd only listen and do it our way, then things would be better. You want to become more like Christ. You want to become more like him in the fruit of the Spirit. You want to become alive in him. You want to be Jesus in this world. Not you're going to be transformed and be a deity. I'm talking that you're going to reflect him like the moon reflects the sun. Because if you do everything without grumbling and arguing, you'll become blameless and pure. How about that? How about that? Children of God without fault. How about that? Blameless and pure. So, is it easy to listen to somebody else gripe and complain? Yeah. Is it easy when you have your own gripes and complaints, and then you just kind of load your bus, and they load another bus, and then you all go screaming over the cliff? This is not, Jesus never complained or grumbled about anything. Some guys were going to throw him over a cliff. He didn't allow it to happen. They stoned, when he was being viciously whipped and tortured and brutally beaten, he didn't complain or grumble because he knew he was doing it for us. He knew he was doing it for us. And you're never more like Christ when you forgive or when you don't engage in grumbling and murmuring and arguing. Why do you argue? Because you are right. And they're wrong. And you got to be right. That's the thing. It's not just that you're right. You got to be right. And you need to know that they know you're right. That's why you argue. Why can't you just say, hey, you know what? We disagree and that's okay. No, I'll drive this into your brain. I'm going to set you free because you are so stupid. What kind of an imbecilic type of an answer is that? Like, are you truly a human? Like, what's going on? Come on. Right? It's all selfish. It's self-centered. If you're going to argue with somebody over and over again, they call it debating. That's kind of scheduled arguing. So you go, this is what, I'm going for a debate. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have all my arguments in place. And what are you going to do? I'm going to argue all night long and hopefully somebody's going to come to an answer. Well, you know what? They're both going to go home with the same answers. And I guess debating's okay, but I just think, listen, doesn't matter. Why don't you get in tune with what God wants? And you know what? If the other person does, it actually might happen that you will agree. And you won't have to argue anymore. And you'll have lots of extra time. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Have you seen some of the politicians in some of the other countries? Actually, in our, I'm just so ashamed of the yelling and screaming that goes in our parliament. Like, really, come on. My kids would have gone to their room for like months if they did that. These guys are getting paid like ridiculous salaries to scream and yell and call each other down. Like, come on, let's get some work done instead of that. That's my own personal opinion. But there's other places, and you see it on TV, where they just, you know, I've had enough of you, and they get out and they start punching each other in the parliament, beating on each other like a hockey game, you know? It's like crazy stuff because we live in a warped and a crooked generation, a generation that doesn't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Then you will shine, it says in Scripture, among them like stars in the sky, and you will hold firmly to the word of life. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I will be glad and rejoice with you all. Paul brought that back from the Old Testament Scriptures where David was with his strong, mighty men, and he goes, you know what? I just wish I could have a drink from the well in Bethlehem. I think it was Bethlehem. Somebody can correct me if you want. And it was all behind enemy lines. Oh, I just hunger. I just thirst for this drink. So three of his mighty men broke through the enemy lines, went down in the well in the middle. I mean, they're risking their lives. They pulled up a bucket of water. They brought it over to David. You'd think that David would go, oh, man, let's get me a tumbler. I'm going to drink this. This is what I wanted. And instead, with these three strong men who just risked their lives, David said, I can't drink this. And he poured it out on the ground as a sacrifice offering to God. Now put yourself in the place of those three guys that just risked their lives for David to pour that out. We'd be okay with that? Or when you got on the bus to go home back to your quarters, would you say, what did he do? Like, how stupid is that? We need to understand that God, if you'll allow him, will pour your life out on the dirt, and maybe nobody will recognize it, but when God pours it out, it is for his glory. And you need not to complain or cry or argue or anything, but if you just give to him your life, as a sacrifice, he may just take it, not like anybody else you know, but he may pour it out. for his glory. And I think we understand in missions in this world today, people's lives are being poured out, their blood literally pouring into the ground as a sacrifice for what they believe. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I'm glad and rejoice with you, all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. And I'm going to close with this, and we're going to have communion. This is what Christ did. And I read this before. Hebrews 12, 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. In other words, clean yourself up so you can run. And let us run with perseverance, endurance. Let us run with patience. Let us run with tenacity. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, not the circumstances. On Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of the faith that we need to get through this. You can't do it with a Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada membership card. You can't do it with a family that's been in the family of Christ for centuries. You can't do that. You can't do it walking into a building that's been dedicated to Christ. You got to walk with this, with you, Jesus, in your life, the Holy Spirit working in your life. Let us run with perseverance. Hang in there, you guys. Hang in one day, and I don't know when, but one day Jesus Christ is coming back, and we won't have to run anymore. But until then, we need to run this race with tenacity, perseverance, patience, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because for the joy set before him, he endured. Can you imagine? All from the day of my wonderful painting here, hovering over that mess, he waited patiently for the exact time to die for everyone. And he had joy, and we talked about that before. Before he enduring, scorning its shame, I'd love to spend some time on that, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Oh, man, if you can just have that tenacity, if you can have that patience, just hang in there, whatever God's doing in your life, whatever you need done in your life, this is the time to let the fruit of the Spirit, patience, come forth in your life. If you're always angry and always grumbling and always arguing and always complaining, you need the fruit of the Spirit to come into your life. You need to put that stuff on. You know what you need to do? Is you need to put that on the side of something and then push it off. Get it out of your life. It's a different world. Now, I'm not there. I'm really close, but I'm not. I'm still working on all this stuff. We need to become more like him. Have the worship team come up. We're going to, and the people who are going to be helping with communion, if you'd please come up to the stations.